بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار باب بيع الملامسة وقال أنس نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنه Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to the program over the receivers, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. In our previous discussion, we discussed the prohibition of entering into transactions that have uncertainty in them. There are three types of uncertainties in transactions that make the transactions invalid and it makes those transactions unacceptable in Sharia. First and foremost, if there's uncertainty regarding the price of the item. At times, a person may do a transaction with somebody that he knows. A close friend, an associate of his, he would purchase a house, he would purchase a motor vehicle, and because of the close relationship, one will tell to the other, don't worry, we'll sort out the price later on. Now this person thinks, I wonder what price you would mention for it. Meanwhile, I've taken the item. So you've entered in a transaction in which the price is unknown. Or at times the price may be known, but the paying of that item is dependent on an uncertain future, on something that is uncertain. For example, the person says, the price is 1,000 rands, but I will pay you whenever it rains. When it will rain, one doesn't know. So, you have suspended the paying of an item on a future uncertain event. That also is prohibited. That transaction will be invalid. Or, maybe the price is known. When you will pay, that is also known. But, the commodity is unknown. And the commodity is suspended on a future uncertain event. We gave the example before, and that's the hadith that we are going to do today. In the time of Jahiliyyah, there was a practice of mulamasa and a practice of munabaza. A customer will come into the shop, and the shopkeeper, he would just throw a garment or any item to the consumer. And according to a custom of that time, or whatever was the practice in that particular market, the person that entered the shop and if the shopkeeper threw something at him, he touched that item, he had to purchase the item, whether he likes it or not. Whether he examined the item, he didn't examine it, the fact that that's the custom of the time, he had to purchase the item. Now you enter the shop, you concluded a transaction on something that you don't know. So this is purchasing an item and suspending it on a future uncertain event. Or at times, maybe the item is known, but the person unable to deliver the item. The price of the item is known. When you're going to pay, that is known. The commodity is also known, but the delivery of that commodity, handing over the commodity, that is suspended on a future uncertain event. For example, in the Kitab of Fiqh, An example is given. One person wishes to sell a bird to someone. The bird is flying. And he tells the person, I'm selling you the bird. Now, whether he'll be able to catch that bird and hand it over, that he doesn't know. So it is, he's selling the bird, but it is suspended on a future uncertain event. Oh, for example, a person sells a fish to someone. They tell, if I catch a fish from this river, I will give it to you. But you already concluded the deal. Whether you're going to catch the fish or not, it's a different issue. Yes, of course, the small fishes that in the ponds, that is something that you have control over it, and you can pass it over to consumer immediately. The transaction of that is permissible. So these are the three things that there's uncertainty in the transaction, and due to uncertainty, the transaction will be invalid and it will not be permissible. We also discussed that all conventional insurance schemes, whether it is life insurance, whether it is medical insurance or third party insurance, all conventional insurance schemes have an element of uncertainty in it. A person paid a premium, and the agreement with the company is, should anything happen, then you will cover me up. So you enter into a transaction based on a future uncertain event, and therefore all insurance schemes, apart from the other prohibited elements in it, the element of uncertainty is found in it, which the academic term gharar, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anil gharar, Nabi Kareem said prohibited from uncertainty, so therefore it will not be permissible, it will be haram, it will be prohibited. However, if a person wishes to provide a service, we need to differentiate between financial services. All conventional insurance schemes, they are financial services. And then there is physical, non-financial, tangible services provided to people. That is a different thing. It is permissible. For example, the AA or roadside assistance. You are paying a fee for it. But you know that should anything happen, they will come and provide a service to you. Or for example, it could be entering into a contract with a security company. For something that may happen in the future, at night, something may happen, at least you have the facility to phone the security company to come to your help and assistance. And they are probably watching the computers, they are monitoring your house all the time. So there is a tangible physical service that is being provided for which you are paying the money. So it is not just something of the future that is uncertain. Unlike conventional insurance schemes, there you are paying a premium, and the return you're going to get is a financial service. It is not a physical, tangible service in lieu of the premium that you are contributing. So therefore, all conventional insurance schemes are prohibited and they are not permissible. The hadith that we are about to do, it is narrated, حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيد ibn عُفَيْرِ قال حدثني ليس قال حدثني عقيلة بن شهاب قال أخبرني عامر بن سعد أن أبا سعيد الخدري أخبره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن المنابزة. The narrator of the hadith is Abu Sa'id Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه, a great illustrious Sahabi of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was from the Ansar and he was from the tribe of the Khazraj. He was among the children Sahaba at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many Sahaba who were children. So he was among the children Sahaba, or those Sahaba that were very young at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one amazing quality of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that kana min afqahi ahdathi Sahaba. That among the young Sahaba, he was one of the most intelligent ones with deep understanding in him. His father took part in the Battle of Uhud. And he said, my father didn't leave any wealth for me when he had passed away. I went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the hope of asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for financial help and assistance. So when I just reached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did not even present my case to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly, I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrating this hadith, narrating the advice, man istaghna aghnahu Allah. May yasta'iffa a'affahu Allah. Wa may yatasabbar yusabbiru Allah. Or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who wishes to remain independent, he doesn't stretch his hand out before people. He wishes to remain independent. Allah will make him independent. Allah will create means and ways for the person to be independent. But it first came from the individual. Allah opened the ways for him. And if a person wishes to remain chaste, Allah will create means for him to be chaste. And if a person wishes to adopt patience, he's going through some challenging conditions in life, and he wishes to be patient, Allah will give him the patience. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says, I went with the intention to ask Nabi Sallam for financial help and assistance. Suddenly I heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying these words. So I thought to myself, Nabi Kareem Sallam didn't intend anyone with this advice but myself. I had no courage to present my case to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I took a U-turn and I went away from there. So this is Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He passed away in his 74th year or around that time after Hijri, and he passed away on a Friday, and he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala relating to finance. A very interesting hadith. He said on one occasion, I came to Masjid al-Nabawi. I saw one Sahabi, Hadrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the state of grief. So I went to him and asked him, what's the matter? He said, I'm overwhelmed with debt. And because of that debt, I'm in a state of grief. So Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala told him, should I not teach you a dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That should you pray, practice on this dua, read this dua, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will relieve you from your financial difficulties and hardships. And the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn, wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasl, wa'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, wa'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayn wa qahr al-rijal. The last part of the hadith is related to the subject matter. That of Allah, I seek refuge in you from excessive debt, from such a debt that is overwhelming, and from people overpowering me. From this hadith, we also understand how Nabi Sallam nurtured Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala when it comes to managing financial issues. Unfortunately, our situation today is such, when we have financial related issues, some challenges in life, we first turn to people. Whereas, the hadith teaches us, we first turn to Allah. Ask, beg Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now our situation nowadays is such, we beg people, and we just make some recitations before Allah. Whereas, we're supposed to be begging Allah, and then, in a most dignified way, should the need for us to seek help and assistance from people, we see present that in a dignified way. But we don't beg people. Begging, we only ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he advised one sahabi who was in debt. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told the person that, should I not teach you a dua? That if you have if you have debt which is equivalent to Mount Tabir, it's the name of a mountain, if debt equivalent to that, you read one dua, then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will relieve you from your debt. Now obviously, we are living in this world of means. We don't only make dua and rely on dua. We adopt asbab and means. And then after, we also make dua. And leave the effect of your means in the hands of Allah. But indeed, dua have a positive effect and relieving a person from difficulty and hardship. The dua, Allahumma kfini bi halalika and haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Oh Allah, you make me independent from everyone besides yourself. If I need to be dependent on anyone, Allah, let it be on you, let it not be on anyone else. Nevertheless, this is a riwayat by Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil munabaza. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited from munabaza. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah explains the concept of munabaza, and he says, وَهِيَ تَرْحُ الرَّجُلْ ثَوْبَهُ بِالْبَيْءِ إِلَّا الرَّجُلْ قَبْلَ أَيْ يُقَلِّبَهُ أَوْ يَنْزُرَ إِلَيْهِ. That a person throws material, fabric, garment that he wish to sell to a person, And before the person could turn it, or before the person can even look at it. In other words, it was the custom, the norm of the time. You enter my shop, I throw the garment at you. The moment it touched you, the transaction is binding. You have to buy it whether you like it or you don't like it. So here, the person who entered the shop, he knows that he will have to buy something that he doesn't know. So he entered into a transaction based on a future uncertain event, and therefore it is prohibited. And similarly, wanaha anil mulamasa. Nabi Kareem is also prohibited from mulamasa. Mulamasa is when the shopkeeper throws something. Mulamasa, the person comes in the shop and he touches something. And wa mulamasa lamsu thawb la yanzuru ilayh. You enter into a shop and you touch something which you didn't see, but the fact that you have touched it, the transaction is complete and it is binding upon you. We move into our next topic. Babu nahiril bai alla yuhaffil al ibila wal baqara wal ghanama wa kull muhaffala wal musarrat allati surri labanuha wa huqina fi wa jumi'a falam tuhlab ayyaman. This chapter is about the practice of tahfil and tasriya. And to simplify it, tahfil and tasriya is in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the pre-Islamic era, people that wish to sell their camels or wish to sell their sheep, they used to not milk the animal every day, not milk it for probably 2 days, 3 days, or probably a week, and the milk would remain in the udders of the animal, and now the person would present that animal to sell it. The potential purchaser would look at the animal, and he would notice that the udders of the animal is bloated, it is expanded, it is full. So probably this animal is a very healthy animal, and it is something worth buying. So when a purchaser would purchase the animal, he doesn't know that the animal was not milked for a few days. He takes it home, and then he realizes that he thought, according to what the seller told to him, it probably produces 20 liters of milk every day. But when he goes home after 2 or 3 days, notice that not even 2 or 3 liters of milk have come out. So the animal is not as healthy as the seller have told to him. So the purchaser becomes a victim of deception. Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned this 1,500 years ago. That don't bloat the udders of the animal, or don't deceive the purchaser. But the same thing is practiced today. People that go for agricultural shows, farmers, and they have competition on animals, and sometimes a big prize are given for animals that look most healthiest and they looked nice. So nowadays the farmers, they use a certain item to gas the udders of the animal. They bloat the udders of the animal, and then they use super glue or something to block the teeth of the animal. Now, when a person would look at the udders of the animal, you think it is bloated. It has a lot of milk in it. Meanwhile, there's nothing but gas. And they put the super glue to avoid the air or the gas coming out from it. And in this way, they deceive the potential purchaser from it, only for him to go home to realize no milk at all is coming out because it is blocked with super glue. Now, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is prohibited from that. So the hadith is, now there's about 3 or 4 hadiths here. I would just mention the last hadith, which is most comprehensive, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la talakqaw al-rukban, wa la yabi'u ba'dukum ala bay'i ba'd, wa la tanajashu, wa la yabi'u hadirun li ba'din, wa la tusarru al-ghanama, وَمَنْ ابْتَاعَهَا فَهُوَ بِخَيْرِ النَّذْرَيْنِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَحْلُبَهَا إِنْ رَضِيَهَا أَمْسَكَهَا وَإِنْ سَخَطَهَا رَضَّهَا وَسَعَ مِنْ تَبَرْ. The translation of the hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you should meet the travelers. And this actually refers to the merchants that are coming from outside the town, they come to sell their goods and their commodity in the town. But people in the town go out of the town, and they meet the merchants ahead of time, and they probably will deceive the merchant and tell the merchant, what, you coming in the town to sell this item? This item, you'd fetch 100 rand for it in the town. So I'd rather give you the 100 rand here, and I would take it over and I would sell it myself. Meanwhile, if that merchant would have come in the town, then he probably would have got more than 100 rand, and this person from the town actually went ahead, purchased the commodity and deceived the merchant. So it's a type of deception Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited. The second, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that none of you should sell upon the sale of another person. We discussed this before. If there's a transaction that had taken place and the transaction had been concluded, now no person can make a counter offer to that. Because it's a, once there's a proposal and acceptance, the transaction concluded, the rights of both of them have already been entrenched and therefore it will not be jais. Or, for example, the transaction is not concluded, but there's already an inclination of concluding the transaction, then too it will not be jais. And one of the reasons for that is you're causing taklif, harm to the next person. How would you like somebody to do that with you when you conclude the transaction or about to conclude the transaction? Third, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, La tanajashu. We discussed this already before, that when in an auction, do not make false bids. That's also a type of a deception. And, وَلَا يَبِيعُ حَاضِرُ لِبَادٍ, that a person in the town, he should not sell for a villager. Now, in the past, people used from the village, they used to sell greeneries, vegetables. And they would come and sell it in the town, and they would have to sell it as quick as possible because they have to go back home. And the price of vegetables in the morning is probably expensive. By the midday or later in the afternoon, it gets even more cheaper. Because the person will have to get rid of his stock, otherwise he's going to go back home with his potatoes, onions, tomatoes, and he's going to get rotten, he's not going to fetch the price for it. So, the person from the town will tell to the villager that, hand it over to me, I will store it for you, and I will sell it over for you. Now in this, this is actually causing harm to the consumer, because had the a person from the town not made this offer to help and assist, the item would have been sold cheaper. But now, somebody helped, assisted him to sell it on his behalf, he would maintain the price, or probably the price would be sold at a higher rate, and that is to the detriment of the consumer, and therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited from that. And lastly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا تُصَرُّ الْغَنَمْ. And that is the purpose of the subject matter, that none of you should bloat the bloat the udders of the animal. Just superficially to create the impression that the animal produces a lot of milk. But وَمَنِ اِبْتَاعَهَا, if anybody had become a victim of deception, he thought the udders of the animal is big, it's producing a lot of milk, so let me buy the animal. So if anybody has bought it, then he has one of the two options after he has milked the animal. If he wants, he can just overlook it. He bought the animal. Now who's going to go and return the animal? He became a victim of deception. He accept it. So he just be happy with it and accept it. But if he is not happy with it, then he can return the animal. But what about the milk he used whilst the animal was in his possession? So, وَسَاعًا مِّن تَمَرٍ, that in exchange of the milk that he used whilst the animal was in his possession, then he should compensate the seller with one saa, one saa of khajur or one saa of the. Difference of opinion among the ulama on this. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi practiced on the apparent meaning of the hadith. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi would say that whatever is the common food of that locality, you would pay that. And from the Ahnaf, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi says something to what Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says. But he says that this is more a mashwara from the side of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advising that since you use somebody's item and you need to compensate the person with whatever that person will be happy and will be satisfied with. Nevertheless, when you analyze the five things that are mentioned in the hadith, that don't deceive anyone. And deception takes away barakah in a person's business, in a person's transaction. And aside from that barakah going away, the person, it could land the person in the fire of Jahannam. In conclusion, there's one incident. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Kusuf, when there was a solar eclipse took place at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was performing Salat in Masjid Nabawi. Nabi Kareem Sahaba observed Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he's standing on Musalla and suddenly he's going in front to grab something. Then Sahaba observed Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's moving his face away as though he's turning away his face from something. After Salah, Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, what was this that you have done? You went to grab something? And then in Salah, we saw you moving your face away from something as though you're saving your face from something? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Allah showed me Jannat, Allah showed me Jahannam. And one of the things Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that I saw of Jahannam at that time was Sahib-e-Mihjan. Sahib-e-Mihjan, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu mentioned, there was one person, he had a stick with him. And at the ending of a stick, there was a hook. So Hajj time he used to go, and he should have the stick with him walking, as though he's walking. And he's taking support on the stick. But when you see nobody look at him, and you see people valuable there, he would just hook it and take it away. Deceive the people, nobody looking, he would just hook it and he would take it to himself. He used to cheat the people, deceive the people in that way, steal the people's items. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, I saw that person who was deceiving the people, stealing the people's item, he is in a fire of Jahannam. And then I saw the Sahib-e-Mihjan, he was standing on a stick in Jahannam, and he was saying, Ana Sarif-e-Mihjan. That I am the person who used to steal the people's good with that stick that had a hook in it. Many of us. Allah save, Allah protect us. But we have in our own business practices, we also got our own sticks with our own hooks in it to hook the people and to deceive the people. We need to think, ponder, reflect that where will our sticks, will our hooks and our plans take us if we have to continue with this and don't make tawbah and istighfar. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.